Technorama episode 452, Back to the Future!
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now,
the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I need some plutonium to get my time travel machine up to 1.21 gigawatts!
Over there, in the media corner.
Great Scott!
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Well, okie dokie.
Thank you, Krug.
That's Jim from Taxi. He's crossing his characters.
No, actually, I've always expected Commander Krug in Star Trek III to do that. Well, Kirk, you're not going to give us Genesis? Okie doke!
Oh, he's scratching his head. Okie doke!
That's awesome.
That was when we saw Christopher Lloyd really start to stretch himself.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening or watching Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you are a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time once again. I am Chuck Tomasi. Joining me, as always, is the immutable... Well, I can mute him from here. But
everybody's mutable.
Yeah, mutable.
Hey, Craig Stepp, how are you, Craig?
I'm good. I'm tired. I'm sore. But I'm here. I made it.
Thank you very much, because this is going out on October 21st, which is the day that Marty McFly and Doc Brown return to the future, back to the future, show up the present day, which will soon be the past, and my brain is starting to hurt.
Is it 21st? I thought it was 28th.
21st.
Is it 21st?
21st. Go back and watch the movie. Come on.
All right. Do the freeze frame at the right time, and you will see.
Michael? I'll have to... What? It's on my list of doing.
Michael, go from the door and leave.
The chronologically confused one t-shirts. In the audience
I
is
my point too.
I'm like Dang Craig it. Today. I'm not all here. I'm really not.
This should be week. Fun.
No, doing this I have an avatar sitting to my right.
Yes. Doing this for the fans, man.
Yeah, a cardboard cutout might be more interesting than me tonight. So I'm not promising anything.
That was the one we saw at DragonCon. We couldn't figure out what it was. Michael.
Also joining us in the studio this evening is
Ben Ragginton from TG Geeks
and
Keith Lane.
From TG Geeks.
Also from TG Geeks. It's raining.
It's raining.
It's raining in Phoenix.
It's raining in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Write it on your calendars.
How about that?
Write a song about it. It'll last longer.
Well, it's raining on this part of town.
This part of town.
It's still dry.
It's been
on
very
our end.
Cellular. Yes.
It has been
it never
pouring
rains
a wee
in Phoenix, Arizona.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with making your own flux capacitor, revisiting the 1939 World's Fair, and Titanic biscuits. All that and more coming up right after this.
That sinking feeling.
Greetings from TG Geeks webcast, where Ben and Keith, the two gay geeks, talk about all aspects of geekdom and nerdery. Sci-fi, comics, film, horror genre, you name it, we talk about it. Find our episodes each week on tggeeks.com. Visit our Facebook page, TG Geeks Webcast. You can tweet at TG Geeks and at the Two Gay Geeks. Peace.
You're listening to Chuck and Craig with Technorama. Did I say that right? Where's my money? You say you give me $10. Now get out of here.
All right, so apparently I need a new promo for TG Geeks.
Yeah, we have one.
Okay,
somewhere.
I will find.
What is it? What does it say? Like the holiday season in 2010 on TG Geeks.
We have promos like that, and we play them off schedule as well.
Yeah,
just to mess with people's minds.
We had a week off, which should have given all of our listeners and viewers an extra week to answer our question of the week. So it'd be a question of the bye week. If you could jump into any movie universe, what would it be and why? We got one response.
Really?
From Jack Mangan's Tiffany. She writes, The Fifth Element. So I could say multipass. and watch an operatic alien on a space cruise liner with Chris Tucker, Gary Oldman, and Bruce Willis.
How'd I expect that from Sam?
Well, yeah. you might get that if you were rich in that, in going there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis didn't strike me as the rich type for that.
Well, he was on a mission. That's the whole point.
Yeah, he wasn't rich.
He would have never been able to afford it if he wasn't on mission. So
I was kind of thinking of Willy Wonka.
Wally Winka.
That would be bizarre. I don't know if I'd go there because that feels like Alice in Wonderland. It's just a little too, I don't know, hippy dippy for me.
Only if I could do that, I could exist in the factory. I don't want to be out there with all the peasants.
You want to be in with the Oompa Loompas.
You want to be an Oompa Loompa.
Wait a minute. No, not that.
Oompa, your Loompa.
Okay. Right.
Boy. I honestly don't know.
I want to be in Monty Python's Holy Grail. I know all the lines.
Yeah. I was going to say Jurassic Park, but I really don't want to get it.
You'd be eaten.
Yeah. I mean, if I could go and basically throw other people in front of the dinosaurs, that'd be great.
Go and be a tourist.
Maybe I'll stay in the helicopter.
I have to run faster than Nedrick, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Stay in the helicopter like Marlon Perkins.
Yeah. Right.
I think I would love to be probably, I would say in the DC universe because I desperately want myself a Green Lantern power ring.
yes, me too. Oh, that would be cool.
I have no idea.
Let's go.
X-Men universe would be all right.
Maybe Star Trek.
Oh,
that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, Star Trek's another good one too because I mean it's such a
utopian.
It's not only utopian but the whole idea of exploration of space.
Yeah.
Hell, I just really want to be a janitor on the Enterprise. Yeah, you know
exactly.
take a week and just clean up. That's it. I don't need to do science. I just want to wander around and look.
Just
and
watch.
Go,
wow, this is cool.
You'd be that guy on Red Shirts. Have you read that?
They don't have they don't have janitors on the Enterprise. They got Roombas by that time.
Yeah, probably.
All right, that's our feedback. Let's do the history. This ought to be fun. Day in history for October 21st, 2015. This is the 294th day of the year. Get your Christmas shopping done. There are only 71 days remaining in 2015. It was on this date in 1520 that Ferdinand Magellan discovers a strait now known as the Strait of Magellan.
Straight
amazing.
Ahead.
That is such an amazing coincidence.
It's like Lou Gehrig getting Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah. No.
That was dark.
Ow. Yeah.
Wow.
But it was funny as hell.
Craig's turn.
All right. 495 years ago today, Juanjo Alvarez Vanguitez, whatever, discovers.
He pulled a Sam. You turned Ben into a Sam person.
I'm impressed.
So, anyway, that guy, what did he do?
Yeah, speaking of, let me just continue. Forget it. Discovers the islands of St. Pierre, Miquelon. Yeah, Miquelon. I don't know. I'm so tired, man. Bestowing them the original name, the island of 11,000 virgins.
Long way to go for that. And I want to be there. That sounds like a good place to visit.
Michael can have the third one.
Oh, sure. Okay, what the heck. That same date in 1774, first display of the word liberty on a flag raised by colonists in
Tauntaun, Massachusetts,
in defiance of British rule in colonial America.
And it's a place that people thought smelled bad on the outside.
That's right.
Yeah.
It smelled really bad.
It was 218 years ago today that in Boston Harbor, the 44-gun United States Navy frigate USS Constitution is launched.
Cool. And Joseph Aspidin patents the Portland cement on this date in 1824.
Really? 1824.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
You'd think it would be a lot earlier than that.
Yeah, really.
I mean, the Romans had concrete, but I guess this had a special Portland stuff. It was also 136 years ago today that Thomas Edison invents a workable, note the word workable, electric light bulb at his laboratory in Menlo Park, New Jersey, which was tested the next day and lasted 13.5 hours.
Wow.
We get a little bit more out of our LEDs these days.
Mm. Yes.
This would be the invention of the first commercially practical incandescent light. Popular belief is that he invented the first light bulb, which he did not.
Right.
He did not.
That's right. And the first edition of the Hemingway novel, or the Ernest Hemingway novel, For Whom the Bell Tolls, is published this date in 1940.
It was 56 years ago today that New York City, the Salman...
Guggenheim.
Guggenheim Museum. Oh, yeah. Salman R. Guggenheim Museum, designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, opens to the public.
On October 21st, 1965, comet Akiyeseki approaches perihelion, passing 450,000 kilometers, which is 279,617 miles from the sun.
Nicely done.
37 years ago today, Australian civilian pilot Frederick Valentich vanishes in a Cessna 182 over the Bass Strait south of Melbourne after reporting contact with an unidentified aircraft.
Do I have that? Okay, far out.
No, I don't have that.
That's not alien.
I don't believe it.
He was shot down.
We'll hear from Dean Haglund later. It was 30... Yeah. Where was I? It was 32 years ago today that the meter is defined at the 17th General Conference of Weights and Measures as the distance light travels in a vacuum in 299,792,458 of a second.
Mm-hmm.
Quick. Also this day, in 2005, images of the dwarf planet Eris was taken, subsequently used in documenting its discovery by the team of Michael E. Brown, Chad Trulio, and David L. Rabinowitz. I'm sorry, I kind of skipped
Rabinowitz.
Over.
Rabinowitz.
I slipped on that name.
On this day today, Marty McFly's girlfriend Jennifer and Doc Brown appear in Hill Valley, California, in a flying DeLorean.
I wrote that wrong. It's supposed to be Marty McFly and his girlfriend Jennifer.
Right.
I was like, wait, what was Doc doing with his Jennifer? Oh my God.
Happy birthday goes out of the state to Swiss mathematician and theorist Nicolas I. Bernoulli. The Bernoulli effect, and Bernoulli boxes, and Bernoulli drives, and he was born on the state in 1687.
Oh, wait a minute, that's Bertinelli. That's Bertinelli. No, that's not right. That's
Bertoli.
Bertoli, that's right.
Also born on this date in 1833, Alfred Nobel.
Oh, dang! I lose pay up.
Congratulations.
Applause anyway.
Okay. The Swedish chemist and engineer invented the dynamite.
Dynamite.
And founded the Nobel Peace Prize.
I'm
you laughing at me or something?
Where am I at?
American illustrator and animator.
Illustrator and animator Barry Blair was born today in 1911. Oh, cool. Craig was messing with the screen. He's
of course he was. Dizzy Gillespie, the trumpet player, composer, and band leader, would have been 98.
Born October 21st, 1950, astronaut Ronald McNair.
McNair! Rounding out the birthdays is Princess Leia. Carrie Fisher's 59. And finally, today is International Day of the Nacho.
And
we finished on time.
We have to
fly. Bye-bye, man. That was this.
Unheard of.
That was the super extended version, and we used every ounce of it.
Every ounce. Well, there is one more birthday that we have to remember.
And?
Since the 21st is the Back to the Future Day.
Right.
Christopher Lloyd was actually born on October 22nd.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, really? Okay.
That's interesting.
Yep. I probably announced that last year.
1938.
We do this on a Wednesday, and I'm not going to get into the whole leap year thing.
Hey, I don't see his name in the birthday calendar.
It's not.
He's not a listener.
He's not a listener. He doesn't count.
Okie doke.
Yeah. Okie dokie.
News.
Sure. Good news, anyone?
We have the news graphics in here. We have the bumper
news.
Graphics. Yes? Ooh. Where'd it go? There it is.
And now the news.
I put them back. We haven't seen these in like a year and a half. That's my line.
That's shiny.
All right. Man sues the San Francisco park because a giant pine cone
I've read this.
Dropped on his skull and crushed it.
What?
Yes.
At the Lone Pine Mall?
Those are some big ass pine cones.
They are.
If you haven't seen one of them, they are
ginormous.
Crazy. Yeah.
Gee, petrified beehive. What the heck is that?
Jeez. Have you ever seen a pine cone that big?
Well, you know, the thing, yeah, I have, yes, actually. But
they're from very big trees.
You know, if you, I don't remember the number. I used to have this off the top of my head, how many people are actually killed by falling coconuts every year. And it's basically the same thing. There, I mean, it really is a thing.
How utterly mundane.
I know. Yeah, I mean, how did you die? I got killed by a coconut falling in my head.
Now I have to wonder. Of course, you know, hospitals have now, you know, the medical community has completely changed their new diagnosis codes.
ICD-10
now. So now they have the ICD-10 so they can get into really specific reasons as to why you've been admitted to a hospital.
Oh, yes, I heard about
that. Now I got to know. Is there a diagnosis for being admitted to a hospital by being hit by a falling pine cone?
Pine cone or coconut,
it's
either
a
one.
Different, there actually it's a is different level 5 category than coconut.
Yeah, there is one diagnosis for being injured while water skis on fire.
Yes, there is.
And there's actually a diagnosis,
Darwin Award-ish.
A diagnosis for a subsequent injury because of water skis on fire. Truly.
So the diagnosis code does exist, yes.
Wow.
This is you
bitten by a pig.
This is great Technorama
fodder. Subsequent bitten by a pig.
I want to see the codes. And can we make our own? Can we add some?
You know, like Cards Against Humanity. Codes Against Humanity.
Codes Against Humanity.
Codes Against Humanity. Uh-oh.
We're going to use those as the answer cards now.
Yeah.
The new expansion pack.
Passing out while podcasting. Let's see. Too much podcasting fluid.
My water skis got on fire.
Yeah. And I like Michael's story as he started out. Hey, why did you die? By a pine cone. Why would you be asking the dude if how did he die?
Because St. Peter at the pearly
exactly.
gates.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, how did you die?
Duh.
Oh.
You're rejected because that one's stupid.
I'm not even going to read the news story on that.
No, because the commentary was much funnier.
Absolutely.
Good look at those things.
Pile of these things.
Yeah, they're huge.
Merry Christmas.
Huge. Where do you find those?
Now, this is the guy's driver's license.
Hey, is that the same California island you find those where Godzilla was created?
Yeah, yeah. And King Kong was out there.
In there.
Northern California, Washington, Oregon. I mean, they're in the big. They're in the big.
In all the years that I've lived in San Francisco and visited the city, I never ever saw that.
Not those big. I've seen the ones that are about a foot
long. Not even
long
that
and,
big.
And I had some of those, yeah.
Yeah. I grabbed some of the seeds and I was actually starting to grow them, but they wouldn't grow in the Wisconsin climate all that well. But it was probably the
what
tree
does?
Got to be about a foot tall. Snow.
Snow grows.
Snow grows. Every year. It's a good crop of it.
Wow. Looks all like something out of a monster flick.
It's crazy. Imagine the squirrels that collect those things. Anyway.
And by the way, there's this lady. I look for pictures for these large pine cones. There's a lady holding two of those like we just saw in the article in front of her chest.
Melons!
Melons!
Bad news, nobody.
We do have some bad news. We're going to change topics a little bit. The father of the space shuttle, George Miller, dies at age 97.
Wow, 97.
He was one of the NASA administrators who helped steer the agency during the 1960s and was known as the, quote, father of the space shuttle.
I thought it was Mueller.
I think it's M-E-U, it's Mueller.
Mueller.
Okay, we'll go with Mueller. We'll go with popular vote. Mueller joined NASA in 1963 as an associate administrator of the NASA Office of Manned Space Flight. Now, this guy shook up the office when he came in. He was pretty cool.
Where you know what, guys? Wait. I want to put a winged ship in space.
Yeah, that's how he shook it up.
Sounds good to me.
Planning session.
He oversaw the planning and testing of the hardware and space flights that eventually saw the first lunar landings.
Mm-hmm.
Appointed by NASA head James E. Webb. Hey, he's got a space telescope named after him.
Yes, he does.
Mueller insisted on a major reorg of the agency as a condition of his hiring and formed the Office of Manned Space Flight in 1963. Entering the position, he found that the agency had little in the way of tracking the costs of the program. With Apollo behind schedule and becoming increasingly expensive, he was instrumental in helping to organize and coordinate the project while helping to streamline costs. Some of his efforts included the all-up policy, which was tying balloons to houses, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, testing entire rockets at once, which put him in conflict with some of the agency's leading scientists, such as Wernher von Braun.
Hmm.
So when he stepped down from his position in 1969, he helped to establish the future of NASA by advocating the follow-on projects such as Skylab and a reusable spacecraft, which would later be known as the Space Shuttle. And there's a nice quote if you follow through the show notes from an interview with him. So,
pretty amazing.
Oh, I love hearing about guys that you never really hear about, but they were so influential to our history.
I just have one big question, and that is, if he is considered to be the father of the space shuttle, who is the mother of the space shuttle,
and
what kind of hell did she go through when that thing was passing through the birth canal? You son of a bitch, you did this to me!
Wow. Okie dokie.
Moving right along.
Those tiles are like sandpaper.
I think we'll go to the birthday calendar now.
Speaking of birth, hey, that's a nice segue.
Let's just nice close segue. The show right now.
That's good.
Speaking of births.
Birthday calendar. Two of them on October 21st.
And
Daniel.
None of these passed a space shuttle.
You are nothing in comparison to birthing a space shuttle. October 21st, Daniel Ebdrup Jensen, a.k.a. Debdrup Justin Deal. Null Operations is also on the 21st. We just saw him at DragonCon. Happy birthday to both of you. Zach, also known as ZML2008, which I think gets into... Hold on. Nope. Okay, I thought it clued me into one of our future questions of the week about these handles and aliases and things. I was going to ask people something, but we'll save that for next week. October 22nd, I was wondering where it was. Several. On the 25th, we have Mad Marv, spelled K-Y-L-E, but pronounced Marv.
Imagine how that happens.
Is that Welsh?
Yeah.
It's my pronunciation.
It's Icelandic. Human Shield and Brit on Tour and Scott from Minneapolis are all on the 21st. If it's your birthday today and you did not make it on the calendar this time around, happy birthday to you. And if you want to be on the calendar, go over to chuckjet.com.
Hey, we can play the happy birthday song now.
No!
And not get sued.
That's true.
Yes, we can. However, one of our callers called in and said, remember you used to have that robotic dirge?
Happy birthday. Yeah. Happy. Yeah.
I looked really hard for that the last couple of weeks. I cannot find it on my hard drive or on the internet right now, but I am still searching that out.
And you know what's funny is we go looking on our old shows and go, oh, I know about when that would be, and you never find it.
No, I can't find it.
Flip it out.
Let's see if we can find it.
I found several people singing it on YouTube.
The computer says nope.
Access denied.
Nope.
Yep.
Access denied.
There it is.
Yeah.
So we're going to take another quick short break and come back with several other news stories for which we are infamous.
All right, kids, smoke them if you got them.
No, please don't. Smoking's bad, okay?
Yeah, release the attorneys.
Yeah, we'll write for that. Yeah.
In the future, and even now, they're going to be faster.
Mulder and the cigarette smoking man are hanging out on the beach just chilling.
Those little speedos. So.
Oh, no.
You want that image?
No. Yeah.
Mulder driving the boat.
Smoking man in his speedos.
And if that's everyone's favorite.
I'm thinking of the Fonz jumping over the shark.
We love the show. I'm glad you're enjoying it. We'll never show that again.
This is Vernon Wilmer, Star Trek The Experience is War Drone 7 of 16. Why are you listening to Technorama? Because resistance is futile.
Smoking Man is back.
Yeah.
He's in Continuum.
Yes, he is.
He's been in Continuum since the first episode.
Well, I know.
Maybe now he does a vape.
Is there a new their new season of Continuum?
It just finished.
Season four
just wrapped. It's done. It's over. Last episode
there
just
like
aired.
Four episodes.
Six.
I'm missing two then.
Six episodes. It was the final episode of the entire show.
What?
So
no,
they're
no.
wrapping it up. Yeah, I knew
over,
that was coming.
Over.
Yeah. It's just taken it. Forever.
No. It was going in all kinds of new and interesting directions. They left so many open ends.
And yet Kevin Batchelder just gave a little tiny review on Facebook and said it was perfect.
Oh, wow. Curses.
You remember when we did the Simon Barry interview?
Mm-hmm. Just getting into that
show.
After
the first season.
Yeah. But the series is now over.
Dang.
Now, I watch Continuum?
Oh, I love
Continuum.
Yes. It's fantastic.
That is one of the smartest science fiction shows ever.
Yeah.
Okay.
They weren't afraid to try new things.
No, it's a very... Well, Simon Barry's a bit of a genius. I mean, he had that whole series mapped out.
All right. Speaking of geniuses, some genius came up with the Darth Vader and R2-D2 shower heads just because there's not enough Star Wars crap in the world.
Oh, well, with the movie coming out in December, it's going to be wall-to-wall.
It will be, really, I mean, this is going to be the biggest Star Wars fever since New Hope first came out in 77.
Right. You don't have to worry about Jehovah's Witnesses showing up at your door. There are going to be people showing up at your door to sell you Star Wars stuff directly.
You know, I don't have to worry about the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're going to be in line wanting to see the new Star Wars movie. Hey,
by the way, I heard that Home Depot is going to have a whole Star Wars section.
They've already started.
Home Depot? What would they be selling? What you mean, like home these shower heads and things?
Home decoration.
Yeah, home decorations.
The R2-D2 trash can and toilet seat combination.
The merchandising on this is out. It's off the rails.
That's why I put this story in here. It's like when they start showing up as shower heads, I don't want Darth Vader staring
down. It's worse
down.
Than that. I mean, we've got sexual toys. We've got shower mats. Toys. We've got
tell
soap,
us about those.
We've got
lightsabers. Right.
We got personal hygiene products. Oh, well, I mean, you name it, it's there.
Yeah.
If you search Star Wars in Amazon, the stuff that you will find is unbelievable.
We lost Craig for some reason. Yeah. This guy gave up on us.
Don't search for 50-gallon drums. I'm already getting emails about that.
Well, that was funny.
You're going to have to go back and listen.
You missed it.
Did you even hear what I said?
No. We lost you on Skype for some reason.
It's because the internet's been whacked all day.
I think the force was messing with me. So I said I heard Home Depot was going to have a whole Star Wars section.
Right. Yeah. Then we riffed on it.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. I'll check it out later.
And then you disappeared.
I was like, wow, I really stopped the room from me.
but the scary part is, I know you meant it as a joke, but you're actually right. There really is one.
See, I'm foreseeing things.
There's the Jedi hose reel.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Is there a point to any of this?
No,
it's just because little boys don't grow up. Only the toys change.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. True.
Here's the problem. Okay, you have Star Wars and Star Trek. You know, you've seen these apartments where people went through crazy amounts of money and stuff to put together a Star Trek themed house.
We have a story on that coming up in the media corner. Yes.
All right. Well, so they're going to be pissed off when they find out. Well, Star Wars, you can just go buy the stuff at Home Depot.
Don't have to make it.
Yeah.
My living room's a Death Star. I got it on Amazon.
Yeah.
All right. Here's something I want to build.
Yes.
This man builds an electromagnetic Thor hammer that only he can lift.
Right.
So he put in these 12-volt DC batteries. I don't know how much this costs, but he's got an electromagnet from a microwave oven.
Oh, my.
These 12-volt batteries. And the cool part is the handle has a thumbprint reader on it. Mm-hmm, so the Arduino inside only reads his thumbprint. And then he sticks this sucker to like a manhole cover. Or those iron steel plates they put over construction spots in the road. Yeah. And he sticks it there and he says, all right, lift it up.
Calling shenanigans for one very simple reason.
What's that?
Disneyland beat them to this.
With the sword and the stone thing.
Right.
No. With Thor's hammer.
They actually had a Thor's hammer and he stuck it to the...
They don't have it anymore, but in Inventions in Tomorrowland, there was an Asgardian throne room. And the whole gimmick is you're waiting in this hall, then, you know, lights go out, and other lights flash, and next thing you know, you're in Asgard. And Thor's there, and he's standing in front of Odin's throne, and there's these steps, and I noticed that there was these very perfectly sized circles that were kind of equidistant all around the throne. And what he did is he set it down and then let it go, And then he would get kids to come up and try and lift it, and they couldn't.
Yeah.
Mm.
So they've been doing the electromagnetic thing for some time now. So So the guy built it on his own. That's fine. But, hey, Disney beat him to it.
No, he didn't say he did it at first. He just said it just built it on his own.
He just built it on his own, and you can have
your
own. Yeah,
so chill out. Chill out. It's okay.
Okay. It's okay.
Okay.
Did he include DIY instructions?
Yeah.
Well, he did show how it, he did kind of show what he did. He didn't.
But the weird thing is actually, I saw the YouTube video, and the first thought that ran through my head was, okay, now put it on the street.
Right.
I mean, that would be me.
Yeah.
I mean, I would take a look at that and say, okay, I realize what you're doing. Now put it on the concrete and then let me try and pick it up.
Well, it depends on how much rebar is under that concrete. That could actually still work.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true, but he would have to know that.
Well, somebody did towards the end of the video. Somebody realized they can just push it sideways till it gets to the concrete and they can pick it up.
I can rule Asgard.
Yeah. That's what the guy said. Okay, you're worthy, man.
That is actually one of the best moments in Ultron.
It is.
Yeah.
When the cat goes in there and actually jiggles it a little bit.
And then Thor's going, oh, God.
That look on his face is like,
I love the look on his face. It just kind of dropped a smile for a second. Like, whoa.
Yeah, and then he couldn't go any further. It's like, okay.
It's cool. Also, it's cool. Also in the ridiculous department is a biscuit recovered from the Titanic is going up for auction.
Mm-hmm. They will sink you.
And what would you do with it?
Well, it's probably, I'm assuming it's a tin of biscuits.
No,
maybe?
It's just one.
Really?
It's just one
and
biscuit.
And for those here in America, that's a cracker.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
how did it survive?
Yeah. I'll tell you how it survived. It was on one of the lifeboats in one of their emergency kits. And when the lifeboat got to the Carpathia, one of the Carpathia guys took the passengers. He took everything off the lifeboat. They
stole their cookies.
Brought the lifeboat too, but he took this little biscuit and he put it in a Kodak film foil packet where you preserve film.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably
this will be worth something someday.
Attic forever. Well, all the Titanic paraphernalia is worth something someday.
Oh, gosh,
yeah. He's thinking that at the time. Oh, this will be worth something someday.
No, I don't think so.
No.
It's like, get these people on my boat before they freeze to death.
That's the small Titanic, right?
No, that's the Carpathia. That's the rescue ship.
The Titanic was, I mean, by today's standards, was actually not very big.
No, but the menu from the first class luncheon on board, the last luncheon, fetched $80,000.
Wow.
An invite to the launch of the Titanic went for almost $60,000.
Mm-hmm.
And they're shooting for about $15,000 for this one little cracker.
Wow.
Somebody's going to go, wow, I won. That's a little stale.
Like?
Yeah, a little stale.
Sure.
It'll go great with my...
Tastes like stale shortbread.
With my Antarctic whiskey from the failed Scott expedition.
This is a $80,000 meal right here.
For the collector who has
everything.
This
would go really well with my... Oh, shoot. That expedition that was crossing over the Sierra Nevadas.
Oh,
the
God.
Donner Party.
Donner Party. Oh,
Donner Party crackers.
Yeah.
A little Bill Pate.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Too soon.
I like Irene better.
Statute of limitations on the Donner Party jokes.
What'd you say, too soon or too soup?
Too soon.
Too soup. Oh, there we go.
No, that's soup for you. Soup.
Cracker soup.
Yeah, that's toe soup.
Toe soup. Moving right along.
Do we have any viewers? Oh, video engineer. A few.
A few.
With some names.
Tim Elliott. Rachel Schumann.
Ray Charles. I mean, Rachel Schumann.
Yeah, Ray Charles.
And Mad Marv.
Spelled K-Y-L-E.
Pronounced Marv. Happy birthday.
Because it's Welsh.
K-Y-L-E.
We'll give them a special.
Yay.
My man Marv has a first name. It's
K-Y-L-E.
Oh, God. Here's the music.
That must mean it's time to remember something.
Remember
the way we're going tonight, we can't remember a darn thing.
Damn, I left the cake in the oven. I knew there was something.
We're all senile. No, there is a wonderful documentary floating around out there. Recent, I watched the whole thing. This was just fascinating. A look back at the 1939 World's Fair by people who were there.
Cool.
This one guy walked around with a color. Color was brand new. He had a color 16 millimeter film camera, and he was shooting various frames.
Wow!
And then you'd have stills from other people. Remember, this is at the end of the Depression, before World War II came along, and the New York World's Fair, interestingly enough, Clinton Halford and his wife are there today as we record this.
Yeah, that's right.
They've been sending pictures on Facebook. But I just watched the video so you can kind of picture where these things are. Now, many of our listeners and viewers may know some of these scenes from Men in Black with the circular spaceships. That's where this was. This is the New York World's Fair. It was a huge complex. It spanned lots and lots of land. It wasn't just like a few acres.
It's in Queens. Right. You can see it from the freeway.
Yeah. And what's left of it is just a remnant of what was there originally. You can see all the futuristic buildings and whatnot. And some of the testimonials are just absolutely fascinating. This one guy said, GE was showing off television for the first time. It was the first time, and they were, you know, showing what the world of the future would look like. And he said there was a man outside the building with a camera broadcasting, and if you went inside the building, you could watch him. And I thought, well, that doesn't sound very useful, just watching from one room to the next. Clearly, I was wrong about the whole future of television.
Yeah. You should have bought some stock. You couldn't, Mr. Boone.
I thought that it was just brilliant in the way that it was presented. It was a Kickstarter project that had been funded, and they put together these different segments with the different people that were there. One guy had fallen on hard times, and he was selling off some of his paraphernalia. There was another, Heinz was there, and they used to give out these little, maybe inch or two long pens, pickle pens, they called
pickle
them.
Pickle pens.
Pickle pens. Apparently, these are collector items now.
Yeah.
And I want a pickle pen.
Well, he was there.
How many pickle pens can you pick in a pickle pen?
I was just trying to formulate that in my head at the same time. How many pickle
pens? Apparently, that's what all the kids were collecting. They would say, first of all, there were a lot of free things like free candy, free ice cream, and candy in the Depression
was huge.
Yeah. Your parents did not buy you candy in the Depression.
No.
Okay. Something we have a hard time comprehending these days. But
nobody buys me candy.
He's walking along with his dad and he says, hey, Dad, can we go to the Heinz thing? I'd like to, get a pickle pen because all his friends were getting one. And his dad said, well, I don't think we have time for that. And he went to school the next day and said, his friends are kind of going, where's your pickle pen? He said, I didn't have one. He said, that was a very hard day. And there was peer pressure back in the 30s. Where's your
pickle pen?
Right. Yeah. It's kind of like, where's your iPhone these days?
Yeah. Yeah. just whip one up here.
Many of the things have not changed. But I thought this was such a great a way to see. And the color just brings it so alive. Because you got to go watch it. It's about 25 minutes worth of wonderful, wonderful history that a lot of people don't really remember the World's Fair. Is that even a thing anymore?
They still have them, but for some reason, they just don't quite have the allure.
Well, the world has become a different place.
I'm waiting for Musk to basically do the Tesla.
Oh, that would be fun.
The Tesla Fair, in honor of the Stark Expo,
I was getting ready to say, I was looking forward to
We talked about the Tesla Expo. Driving car on our episode.
I was going to say, I was looking forward to Stark.
I want that Stark Model Expo X.
Being a real thing from Disney.
$125,000.
Yeah. Stark Expo.
No, it's not supposed to be that much. It's supposed to be the first affordable one under $40,000. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh. Wow.
Well, it's not so much the car, it's the software that allows you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The software is $2,500.
Right.
Wait a minute. $40,000? Yeah, that's affordable.
Compared to the $100,000.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, I'm sorry.
I still want the 89D or what is it? The Model S.
I guess when you have Michael Meningay money, it doesn't matter.
I'm not the one who's in love with Musk.
You're funny. You're a funny, funny guy. Costs is no
expense. I'll tear down my train set and build it again.
Whoa, snap.
It's because I can't.
That's right. On to the next article.
Next story. Did you ever wonder why the early space shuttles had a white external fuel tank and then the later ones did not?
It was paint saving. It was weight savings.
That's what I thought at first, too, was a secondary consideration. Actually,
really?
That was a benefit. Yes. Why, Craig?
Because it was an expensive thing to do.
No.
They paint it white every time.
They had NASA money.
NASA money.
Come on, $4,000 crescent money. Wrenches.
Yeah.
No, the original idea was it was latex paint that had like UV protection. Mm-hmm. Because once they filled that tank, they didn't want rays and things interfering. That's the technical term.
Rays and things.
Like UV rays.
That's
and
going to a textbook right now.
Thank you, Professor Tomasi.
We try not to get too technical.
Dr. Chuck Tomasi.
Mr. Know-it-all.
Them raisin
like raisin
things.
Bread, raisin muffins, raisin things.
Raisin
you know.
What's on my toast?
We've broken the show again.
Being serious now. No, it was four UV rays, so that I can't say. I can't say. And things.
Story's over now. Move on.
Then they realized it really didn't have any benefits, so they stopped painting it and said, "You know what? We can save some weight too.
You don't have to worry about those raisin things."
That was a second raisin things.
Those raisin things.
I am going to have to make a snippet out of this. That's my mission this week. All right. We go to the media corner now.
Yeah.
Welcome to Block.
Wait till next week.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
And things.
Over here.
And things.
Oh my.
That's never the new meme.
And things.
I had a guy in college in my public address class that was notorious for saying "and that." So it was like, "and that." Mm. You know, where's your movies in that? Like, what?
What?
All right, Craig, you were talking about these people that were converting their houses into various
houses and things into
Star Wars and Star Trek and things.
Mm-hmm. And things.
Yeah. Well, here's another one for you. This Star Trek house with a Star Trek theater can be yours for a cool $1.2 million.
This is really far out.
Are you a Star Trek fan? Do you have $1.2 million? Are you in the market for a new home? Do you have the urge to move to Texas?
Well, only one out of four.
Texas? One out of four. If it was in California, I'd say that would be a bargain. But in Texas? Damn.
It used to be a chicken farm. If you answered yes to any of those questions, this could be the house for you. Located in Friendswood, Texas, this four-bedroom went on the market in the last month. Now, Mike, you had an interesting time selling this house with a studio and a guest house.
Exactly.
I can only imagine what the appraiser is going to do to this guy.
Oh, it's just they're not kind. they're really not.
Their head's going to explode.
Where the heck is Friendswood, Texas?
It looks nice with a pretty incredible kitchen and rooms, but what really makes this cool is its Star Trek the movie room. This room includes a screen, its own kitchen, bathroom, and beds for those really, really long Netflix marathons.
Hmm. Wait a minute. So Netflix and chill and the Enterprise? I'm down with that.
But you can do number one in the loo.
What really puzzles me? Yeah, sure. What I want to know is, okay, after all the work that went into creating this incredible media room, why are you selling it?
He probably got a job in another state.
He watched all the movies on Netflix.
Well, I remember hearing about,
I hate to be the downer here, but yeah, that's not. I mean, it's nice.
It's
don't
nice
get me
looking,
wrong,
but
it's nice.
It's not as. I've seen better.
No, it's not as extreme as you think.
I've seen better online.
I'm seeing it pretty well right now, and I can say.
The ceiling's impressive. But
the screen is good.
The screen's good. The ceiling's impressive, but I mean, those are just
it's not real functional.
It's not a really
relaxing theater room in my opinion.
No,
do you know what this
looks
like? This looks like somebody made a fan film of a Star Trek.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
It
looks like a fanfic.
I've seen much better media rooms that were sci-fi themed. That I would love to have. This one's nice, but yeah,
this one's really.
Oh, wait,
easy. This would be
go look at
fairly
the bathroom.
Easy to do
the bathroom.
Yeah, scroll down. Actually, scroll down some in the comments. Okay, now we're starting to get into some interest. Is this the same house?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
So they did a whole theme all the way through.
Some of the other rooms look really nice.
I should have captured more pictures.
The heart of this thing is supposed to be the media room.
And I don't see
really
a place to sit.
There's a stool right there.
Couch,
I'm looking at it.
There is at the very back.
I told you there's a toilet right there.
Yeah. You can sit on the throne and
scroll up just a little bit.
It's a place to shower looks impressive. Yeah. Look, it's got
the shower looks pretty nice. It's not exactly
I mean, if I have to sit on that hard bench to watch TV the whole time,
a breakfast nook.
Yeah, it does. But, you know, and there is a bench right there that people can sit at, you know, but at the same time, if I'm going to be in a media room, I want a nice comfy chair.
Right. Well, maybe this might be pictures unfurnished too. You know,
there's sit him in the comfy chair.
And by the way, somebody should better be married when they moved in here. Because it ain't happening afterwards.
Right. Well, it's like that. This married couple who had this really nice flat in London. And he went at all hog wild and just completely redecorated Star Trek themed. And then they got a divorce. Yep.
Yes, I remember that.
Oh, yeah. So we had no choice but to sell it.
Well, you remember the TV show on TLC that they did was it Monster House they
called
it?
Flip My House? Or,
no, Monster House, where they went in and actually did the full theme rooms and so forth.
Oh, yes.
Ooh. And they shut that show down because those poor people, what do you do with it afterwards? You know, it's like it wasn't that functional. It wasn't done really, really well to begin with.
Yep.
And then they're stuck with this weird theme that just basically devalued the house to the point where they'd never be able to get rid of it.
Yeah, you can't get rid of it.
Yeah. I mean, it was really cool TV, but for real life and functional,
it looks like a great idea. And I'm sure that if you're a really geeky fan, it seems like a really awesome idea to have something like that.
Yep.
But you're not thinking long term.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. So we're on to our next movie prop, and since it's October 21st, Back to the Future Day, we got a video of how to make your own flux capacitor for around $30.
I'm doing this.
I want one right here in the studio.
Oh, crazy
the
Joe is going to be listening to this.
It's not all that hard. It's a cardboard box with a window cut in it.
Okay,
you put the cellophane over the window to make it kind of clear. Rope lighting.
Oh,
and some spark plug wires. That's about it. He happened to have one of those old retro Dymo label makers so he could do the labels too.
Oh, far out.
But he takes you step by step through this thing of how to make it. And most of this stuff is like 75 cents for washers.
Sure.
$3 for spray paint. The rope lighting was the most expensive piece at about $17. And he just uses enough to get
that cheaper than that.
Yeah. And he hot glues and wraps up the rest, paints it black so he doesn't get any weird reflection on it. I thought it was a brilliant thing. This guy takes challenges off the internet and they say, I want you to make this movie prop or that movie prop.
Hey, yeah, go look at his other videos too. They're pretty cool. He did a cardboard Ghostbusters, the trap. And what was the other one he did? Oh, Tony Stark's heart thing.
I would dare say that what he makes will look better than the actual Hollywood prop.
Probably. Yeah. In fact, the Hollywood props, you only see them for just a split second.
And they always look better on the screen than they do in real life.
Did you go to the Star Trek Experience and see the little wooden blocks?
Oh,
they
yes.
Use?
Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's all, it looks that crappy. Okay, great. There goes my childhood.
Right. Yeah. Actually, I would probably make this out of something a little bit more than cardboard. But
like steel?
Well, just a more substantial, maybe a plastic box, you know, just something that would hold up. Seems like the cardboard would break down after a while.
Well, and if you actually got chase lights, you can actually get those rope lightings in chase where they
animate. This one was not, and I thought it would.
If you got those, that'd be easy.
You would have to thread it just
smaller,
right.
So I'd go with the smaller diameter, do with the smaller gauge ones. Yeah. And then you'd actually get a little better effect out of it.
Have we picked apart everything on this show today?
Pretty much. I'm having fun. That's what we do.
That's what we do here.
Destroy people's illusions.
There you go. Why not?
All right, here's something you can't pick apart. Do you know what you can do with californium?
I don't even know what the hell californium is.
It's an element on the periodic table.
Hey, californium. It's right beside the corbomite.
Oh, corbomite.
Unobtainium?
Plutonium.
Plutonium. Yeah, where is plutonium on that scale?
It's one of those reserve numbers that hasn't been discovered yet.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Actually, it's between the carbamite and the animanium.
I don't know. Okay. I thought I kept saying plutonium every time I watched an episode of Scorpion.
Yeah.
Californium is a man-made element. It's one of those manufactured ones, and it was first produced in 1950. And at first, it didn't really make much because it didn't stick around too long because of the process they were using. It only lasted for microseconds because they could only make micro milligrams of them. But then they started a new process
and made more. It's actually what's used to kickstart nuclear reactors.
Oh,
really?
Because these uranium rods and things don't just start, you know, giving off energies. Because a nuclear reaction,
you got to press the button.
Well, it's a controlled reaction,
right?
Didn't you ever watch that simulation where they have the mouse traps in the box and they drop the first ping pong ball?
You have to have that first thing to go.
Californium is that first ping pong ball that trips all the others. Yes.
Wow.
Because of the way it gives off its neutrons or whatever it does. I'm being real unscientific again.
Yeah.
But wonderful article raisin that explains things. Raisin things. Yeah, it gives off raisin things.
It gives off raisin things.
That's never going away.
Neutronium things.
And beforehand, before it's raisin things, it's grapes and things.
Wait. Californium raisins.
Hey!
Californium raisin things.
Heard it through the grapevine.
Wow.
Bring it all around.
All it took was an image of the box of raisins in my cupboard. I was thinking, I need a t-shirt.
See, folks, you have no idea how many hours we spend scripting this show in order to get this genius happening.
Yes, this is all scripted.
Well, of course it is. We couldn't come up with this offer.
Oh, no, you can't make this stuff up. No.
We import it from child labor in China.
We're not going to play the whole video, but there is an excellent remix of Back to the Future by the Eclectic Method. Probably get sued for this.
Probably.
And it's got lots of sound bites in it. See? October 21st, Mike.
Don't play it too long.
No. Well, we can talk over it.
Rejected.
It doesn't work.
Here, we'll fast forward to the sound bites.
1.21 gigawatts!
And that's at the end. I can dance to this.
Yeah, okay. I can see this being at the next big rave for geeks.
Yeah.
Dragon Con?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about what it is.
Yeah, we can run around with little, the neon
flux capacitors.
Yeah.
They look like food
raisin pots. Things.
No, I was thinking we run around with little...
It will replace Filking. Thank you.
I like Filking.
Some Filking is good, some is good. Not.
I have yet to hear good.
Tom Smith. Just go look. TomSmithOnline.com.
Mm-hmm.
307 Ale. I'll find some other ones for you. He's so prolific, it's crazy. Anyway, that brings us to the end of the show. We want to ask you this question of the week. What was the worst science fiction novel you've ever read?
Oh, my God. Oh. I got to think about that.
These guys are going to have fun with that.
Oh, wow. Wait. No, I actually know.
That's actually easy. I don't think I have it anymore. Maybe.
If you're here next week, you can answer then. If you know you're not going to be here next week.
Oh, well, probably next week.
Toverfest party.
I will hold on to it.
Okay.
I've got mine. I know mine.
You got it? I can't read, so it's easy for me.
You can't read?
No.
You want me to share it now? I'll share it now.
No. Well, do you think it would be giving everybody ideas?
Maybe.
Sometimes we need to salt the pot with some answers.
Okay. Let's put it this way. I'm trying to remember the exact title of it. It's the one, the William Shatner, he did the...
Tech.
He did Tech War.
No. Let me finish my sentence.
Sometimes he doesn't finish sentences, so we have to help.
Yeah. So... He shut up.
We didn't say anything.
No, so he did this.
Shut up! Shut.
I know it was clearly ghost written, but there was a series had his name on it. Captain Kirk, and the first one sucked.
Oh yes. But
the other two after that were like, whoa, this is awesome. And
the first basically one is where Kirk gets rescued after being killed in Generations.
Correct. And then that one was
He got rescued from being killed?
Yes. He had died. He was actually taken off the planet by Borg, and then he was rescued from
beamed right out of his rocky grave.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's actually okay. Now we're getting to fan theory here.
Yeah,
well,
wait a minute. Because but that's not the first.
That he didn't actually leave the Nexus. That the whole thing of generations didn't actually happen because he was just inside of the Nexus, and that was a fantasy that happened inside of there. So, Kirk actually
so really, Kirk's rescue is nothing more than Kirk's narcissistic fantasy in the Nexus.
Exactly. And I kind of like that myself.
I do too.
I really like that.
Well, there was like three or four books. The first one I thought was like not really that great, but the other ones were pretty good because it tied in all kinds of little bits and pieces out of the Star Trek universe.
Yeah, the later stories were actually pretty good, especially when he introduces, you know, he brings back Scotty, brings back McCoy, at one point even brings back Spock. So, the later stories are rather good, but the first one was crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shart.
Shard.
After you, no, that's not you even said better.
The SOB word earlier.
And he has this raise gun
raisin things gun.
Right. Shit, it's much better than a potato gun, too.
Pew, pew.
No! Pew, pew, pew.
Is it live or is it Memorex?
Pew, pew. Anyway.
Warning!
That takes us to the end of the show. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for coming over and participating.
Lots of fun.
Our pleasure.
Never a disappointment.
Always fun.
We are going to click the button twice. There we go. And we want to thank all of you for listening and watching. And thank you very much, Craig, for coming over and playing.
Yeah.
Next week is Oktoberfest party. Put on your lederhosen.
Lederhosen.
And if you see a flying DeLorean, please call us on the listener line and let us know. 206-222-2428. 206-222-CHAT. We'd love to hear from you. If you have an answer about your just awful science fiction novel that you cannot get out of your head, we want to hear that from you, too. You can call us or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff is over on the website. We'd love to hear from you. ASAP, PDQ, UPS, Amazon Prime, if you've got it.
ASAP.
Till next time, give me a binary high five, Craig.
101.
And things.
And raisin things.
Raisin things.